Okay, so we're holding here in the Sira Bitachon. We saw the first piece last time where he speaks about B'tachal Hashem Cholvavcha V'binos Chal Tishoyen. Did we do the Perikoroa Hu Talmidei Dav Shakel Vazer Basar B'Shmuel? I don't remember.
We were just kind of in the middle of that.
Right. Yeah. We saw one pshat in it where he spoke about the reason why he's a chote, if it's a simon that is a chote, or it's because of the chatoim and so on. I want to go off a minute or more on this Indian over here, because it's something which actually has in itself big nekud as far as in Yonah the Yoyma goes. It says over here that let's go back to where we're holding a second in the Sira Bitochen. In the Sira Bitochen, he speaks about the Talmud that was mefachet, and he told him he's chote, and he said a person should be mefachet in the Divrei Torah and so on. So this is the first place in the first shtickle over here. He juxtaposed bitochen versus relying on yourself, and there it was pretty clear what the message was, that a person needs to be samech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to see his success as being his own. Fine, that's something that. It's fairly simple. The second one, the point over here, he's now talking about bitochen versus pachat, that a person, if he's mefache, he's a chote, and then but it should be b'teach on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is something a little more complex, because first of all, it does say a person should be mefachet b'divrei seira. A person needs pachat itself is a good midah. You know, relying on one own self, kochavot miyadi, you can say is totally not a good midah. But pachat is a good, it is an important midah. Yira is an important midah. It's interesting. There's the Leshem when he speaks about Yaakov Avinu's. It says he was afraid Shema Yigro Machet. So the Leshem writes that it was a taina Yaakov. It wasn't a maila. It was a taina that he could think that the Yigro Machet might undo everything. Which is strange, because in Divrei Torah, in other words, in the world of Ruchnius, it does seem to say that we're supposed to have an element of pachar, of yira, emes hadin. I mean, we're full of this type of things. So there's a famous tour in Rosh Hashanah. It's in Tov Kof Pei Aleph, very first simon. It says V'rochetzenu mistaprin al pi amedrish. We are rochets and mistaper on erev Rosh Hashanah al pi Chazal. Amr Simon Ksiv. It says Kimi Goy Gadol. Reb Chanina Reb Yisho Emrim Ezu Uma Kuma Zu Sheyodas Uf Yeshal Lekeha. Kol Yisrael knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, if I needed to translate the word Ufya, I would translate personality. Kind of strange word. The word in like modern Ivrit, Ofi. Ofi means personality. It's sort of it's like the word Ofan, which means how. Ofi is his particular personality. Sheyadas ofya shalakeha, pirush minhaga v'dinov. Kadosh Baruch Hu's minhagim and dinim. She minhaga shal olam adam that has a din loy v'shchayim masatev shchayim, galas konoi. He doesn't cut his nails. If he's any of their erich it's a dino, he's not sure about it. Al yisol enam kein loyf shum levonim masatev levonim galas konoim, chatin tzipaneim, v'ochim v'sheis v'smeich v'sheshonim, if he's a yoidin shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yaselahem Nes. They know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do a Nes. Which sort of, first of all, we're not supposed to rely on Nisim. It's not something that a person ought to normally rely on. So knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask, it says a person is not supposed to go into, like Avraham Avinu went in, Shalom Nas and Nes should be done, that's why Nes was done to him. His brother went in, Al Menas, that there would be a Nes, and there was no Nes, Ein Semchal Nes. And it's a very kind of it's a jarring lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do a Nes. You know, I understand a Nes in Teva. A Nes in Teva means there's a normal order of things. A river flows downwards. A Kadosh Baruch Hu says, stop. The river stops flowing. The river splits and so on. Ocean splits. But what does it mean? A Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a Nes on a in Ruchnius. Like this poor fellow ate treif all year round and he's supposed to get punished for it. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a Nes that he shouldn't. There's an old joke at expense of Chassidim that three Chassidim were raving about how great their Rebbe is. One Chassid said, my Rebbe was stuck in a forest, and he said, you know, forest, I see no forest, and immediately a path cleared out. There was a forest on one side, forest on the other side, and the path just cleared out. The second one says, well, that's nothing. My Rebbe was once on a cruise, and there was this terrible storm, and he said, storm here, storm there. You know, there is no storm, and sure enough, in the middle, it was all calm, and the right was storm, left was storm, middle was calm. And the third one said, well, that's nothing. He said, my Rebbe was walking Shabbos, and he saw a wallet with a lot of money on the floor. And he said, well, Shabbos this way, Shabbos that way, I don't see Shabbos, and sure enough it was Shabbos on the right side, Shabbos on the left side, in the middle was not Shabbos. And he picked up the wallet. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a Nes to save us from to pervert justice, to pervert the din? What kind of Nes is that? Never heard of a Nes like that. So and it has something to do with knowing and understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's personality, Ufio, very, very strange. So there's it's also, I guess, more than the Medrash being strange. How do we understand the dual Hanhaga? Well, is it a terrible Yom HaDin? Is it not a terrible Yom HaDin? Well, which is it? So I think it's very important to understand the bigger picture and understand this Nekuda. The Rambam says, when he speaks about Bechira and Yediya, he says that Harishus is Niten as the Kol Adam, to be good, to be bad, to be a tzaddik, to be a rasha. In other words, the word, the Rishus is given to each person, means, one, it's an endowed ability, let's call it. Better translation than ability, I would translate the word Rishus to mean domain, in the sense like Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid. It's the same as it actually is the same as the word Rishus, it meaning permission. In other words, when I have permission, it means this is within my domain. Eminent domain means the superiority of the domain of the government over the individual. So every individual has his domain and he's Baal HaBayis, but there's an eminent domain that supersedes that. A rishus is government in the Mishnah's lashon. Al tisvara l'rashus. The word rishus can mean a domain, a physical domain, like my rishus, his rishus, rishus hanigzal, rishus hagazlan, and the word rishus means permission. They all mean the same thing. Permission means I have given you a domain. You have permission to take off for a week. That means that's gone into your domain and it's your decision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the entirety of the world. and as such, there's no makom for Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then carved out a domain, and he gave us that domain. Within that circle, we are master. And that's the world of Bechira. Now, that world has two aspects to it. It's its own world with Bechira, and it's part and parcel of a much bigger world, which is not Bechira. Bechira is a subset. It's like when you have these circles and Venn diagrams. Bechira is a subset of a much bigger world, which we'll call Yediyah by default, or Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however you want to call it. It's not important. Now, a person is expected to act and to react to whatever is there in front of him in ways that reflect the emes. So in the chelik of the Bria that is outside that inner circle of Rishus, of Bechira, that's Kule Hashem. Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, and that world, that part of the world is simply treated as being totally Biyad Hashem, and that's that. That is the big circle that is not overlapped with the smaller circle of Bechira, of Rashus. And then within that big world, there's that small circle. That small circle actually has two dinim, we'll say it. It's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu split off. Kadosh Baruch can't split off. Kadosh Baruch doesn't split off. That area comes with one way of looking at it as Rishus Adam, Va'aretz Asav Adam. This is Chalolos HaRashus. This is the world of Bechira. And when I'm looking at the world of Bechira as only the world of Bechira, then it's Kulei Bechira. And then I can also zoom out and look at the whole picture and recognize Bechira as a subset of the world of Kulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kulei Rishus Shamayim. So we actually, to be oimir on the emes, just like, let's take a very simple example. Every shevet, when I talk about shevet Dan, Naphtali, I'm speaking about a group that has two metzias. It has a metzias as Klal Yisrael, as members of Yisrael, as a metzias as shevet Naphtali. Both of them are true. The trick lies in understanding in which areas do I treat it Naphtalidic, and which areas do I treat it Klal Yisraelic, in which area is in what sense, in what things that appear in this circle do I associate it to the specifics of that subset, and which do I look at it as being part of the bigger picture. Just like in logic, when you have a Venn diagram and you have a subset of something, you know that anything in the subset has the properties of the bigger set, but also has unique properties of that subset. Let's take a physical marshal, and then we can understand a lot more the dual relationship. Imagine a person has a person is taking lessons, flying lessons, and now he's trying out for his pilot's license, and he has a flight simulator. So he's sitting and piloting a plane on a simulator, and the plane is going through a lot of crises. I mean, that's what they do when they want to test you. And so an engine caught on fire, and the plane is coming very close to you, something's malfunctioning in the wheels, and so on and so forth. So the person is very, very tense and sweating bullets. And let's say this person is what they call in Yiddish a iberkluger. He says, all of a sudden he stops in the middle and says, what the heck, it's only a simulator. I mean, why should I be so nervous? That would be a good reason not to give him the license or whatever it is. Imagine a person, let's go a step further, the person is taking his actual test in a plane, and they have the guy testing him with a set of steering wheel brakes, whatever it is, so that he can pull the plug on the guy who's messing up. And the guy does the same shtick. The guy says, "What the heck? That's, you know, it's all you're gonna prevent it from, you know." The guy asks him, "Why'd you do a reckless move like this?" He said, "Because I knew you had brakes and you could stop any time." That's not an answer. So I need to treat anything that's nogea to within the circle, I need to treat it as such. So anything that's nogea to within the world of the simulator, I'm supposed to treat it as real. And it's a real test of me. How well do I do as a pilot and so on? And being nervous and tense and exhausted and strained is the right attitude. But should I be taking out insurance, flight insurance, if I'm going to a simulator? Obviously not. Should I tell my wife I'm not sure if I'm going to make it home tonight? No. I mean it's not, because in the bigger picture it's only a simulator. So a person needs to be able to allocate his hargoshes and his senses appropriately. In other words, whatever is nogea to within the circle, the person is supposed to give it the hargoshes of somebody that this is the totality of the world. And whatever is part of the bigger picture, a person is supposed to look at it that way. That's the big picture of bitachon and pachad. In our sense of things around us, a person is supposed to. I guess one of the most powerful prokim in Tanakh is when David HaMelech was with Bathsheba, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him, and the first child that he had was died, and he becomes sick, and the Melech was completely distraught, and he it says he fasted and he was mispalel, and he was very, very. It was something that he, you know, was very, very taken by. It says in the pasuk, "Vayivakish David asakim baranar." It says David was mispalel strongly. It's a small base in Perigid base. "Vayotzim David soim ubov alav shachvarta." David fasted. He slept on the ground, and they tried to encourage him, and Vaikum Zikne Basil, Lakim and Aretz, and La'ovel, Obari, Tom Lechem, wouldn't eat, and so on and so forth. On the seventh day, the child died, and his Avarim was scared to tell him. And the Kalvachayme they used was Ki Amru, Hine Beyoisayel at Chai Dibarne, Lavaloy Shamakalino. We couldn't talk to him when the child was living. And how's it possible to tell him that the child died? So it says, "Vayar David, David saw that they were whispering. Vayiven David kimeis hayelad." David understood that he died, and David asked him and said, "Yes." Vayokam David ma'aretz. He got up. Vayirchatz vayosef v'chalasim loisof. He washed up. Vayover beis Hashem. He came to the Mishkan. Vayishtachvu vayover beis Hashem. Vayishalos yolechem vayocham. So Zavorim said, "Ma David zeh shasisa v'vayel." When he was living, you fasted and cried. And he said, I fasted and cried when he was living. Who knows? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachamim and he'll live. now that he died, lomas ani tzam, why would I fast? Uchal shiva oyt, will I, can I bring it back? Ani hoylech elav, v'hu lo yashav elai. Very, very powerful, and a very, very yisodistic piece in terms of this hashkafa. In other words, when a person needs to ask himself, the event in front of me is what? As long as that event is within the circle of Bechira, then Pachad is a real Yira, and Pachad is the real reaction. It's very serious, because within this world, this is the world of me. This is my world, and therefore I'm being tested. I'm being asked to push myself to the ultimate, and I'm a failure if I don't within that circle. Just like the simulator, right now I'm flying an airplane. The fact that there's a machine out there and not a real airplane is meaningless. But now, once the child died, there was no longer avodas adam. Dead people are no longer in our domain to do anything for them, to be mispalel, to or anything. So at this point, I need to transition back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tov Meitiv, and this is all part of the great world of Taif. The same thing is true on Rosh Hashanah. Even the Yom HaDin is the Yom HaDin itself is the sum total of all of Bechiras Adam. The word Nivra, many Rishonim, Ramban included, learned the word Bara, Bria Bara, to mean to cut away. So on Rosh Hashanah, Adam is cut away. And in other words, he became independent. He became himself. He became his own entity, and that Rishus, or Bechira, was granted. And that's why the Yom HaDin is a day of awe, because my entire world is being tested. And everything that I am, and everything I stand for, and everything I ought to be, is all being tested. That's all true within the circle. Once I finished my Avodas Hayom, and I no longer, there's nothing for me left to do anymore, the question is, so now I need to look at the bigger picture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me as a man, gave me the ability and the obligation to do things. But that's part of a bigger picture of being a mative. That din is a subset. In the big picture, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to succeed and to do well. And if the simulator didn't go well this time, he'll work it out that the next time will go, and if not the next time, the third time. And if not this Gilgal, another Gilgal, if not this world, that world, this ticking, that ticking. I don't know. That's not... But understanding simultaneously that there's a small picture and a big picture is the mitzias of Rosh Hashanah. The tkiya is a form of the trua is a form of shvira, which is either a crying sound, as the Gemara talks about it. It's a sound of alarm. It's a sound of pachad. The trua sound, whether it's trua shvarim, is a sound of our apprehension about all the things that we should have done and went wrong and so on and so forth. But every truah has a tekiah lefoneh and tekiah l'achreh. It's part of it's a little, it's a pocket inside a big world where there is no shvira, and that's all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on Rosh Hashanah I need to give it the aspect, I need the aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's klolius, of his encompassing the world, to come out. I need to reflect that as well, and that's why I need to do it in I need to do both. I need to have a big inner circle of a gira with all that comes with it, and then I need a big I need to never lose sight that this is a sub circle of a much bigger circle. It would almost be kfira if I'd be denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's something very interesting in the Chazal over here. He says, "Uma ke'uma zu she'yadas oyfish alakeha, pirish min haga v'dino." What's that expression? It's a very, very strange expression. You know, we've gotten to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's personality. I mean, in matnas, in people, we speak about a personality. But what do you mean by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's personality? So let's understand it. Let's use the mashal. Let's understand what Chazal mean exactly. Imagine I have a relationship, a business relationship with somebody. He's my boss, he's my client, etc. There is a the body that governs the relationship is a written or a spoken a contract, agreement, deed, law, whatever. It's all, we'll call that Midas Hadin. In this sense, it's a very, very specific set spelling out all the points very clearly. If you deliver X amount of goods on this and this day, I will pay you in full. If it's delayed in 10 days, there's going to be a penalty for it. If it's not the quality I want, I have the right to reject it. Those are all things that are spelled out, and therefore these are the elements that are there in the business relationship. This is the second piece. Let's say I'm doing the business, and I know that this guy doesn't really care about this, or this is the type of thing that will make him happier. I there's also the element where I intuit the person's real ritzonos. You know, whenever you're negotiating with somebody, what you're doing is you're trying to figure out from what he says he wants, from whatever it is that he's spelling out that he wants, what is it that he really wants. This person may be demanding a higher salary, but actually he just wants the covet of saying that I'm making $1 million a year. And you could have him make $1 million a year with a stipulation to give back something, and he'll be just as happy because not the money he's after the covet, or vice versa. So you have the circle of din, which is the stated relationship and what it is that has been spelled out and which can be enforced and obligates. And then there's also the element of what is the person behind it I'm dealing with, and therefore this contract over here is a subset of what. And there'll be a buzz, there'll be a limit. I'll say, I can't ever pull a fast one on you. And especially if you notice that the person is taking advantage and he's sort of cutting corners on the contract because he's figured you out, you'll probably lay the law down really hard. But if that's not at all, and the person is honestly trying to do his best, how you'll react to a late delivery is not totally so much in the contract as much as in your person. And some people are easy personality, harder personality, some people like this person, some like that person, so on. Midas HaDin is spelled out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you do this like this, if you do this like this. The Midas HaDin that's spelled out is the contract for that bubble of the world of Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here you are, Baal Bechira. As a Baal Bechira, these are your obligations. This is the strength with which I'm going to this is what I'm going to demand for this. and this is what's going to happen with this. That is the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu spells it out, and so on. We also know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bigger picture is that he wants our good. Let me give a mashal. We've probably given it some times before. If I have a very, very elite school, and I'm testing the kids' entrance examinations, I don't care if a kid fails or not. As a matter of fact, in some way, I'm happy. The more kids fail, the more exclusive it is. So when a kid is taking the test, I'll be very fair. I'm administering a test, I'm fair about it. But the kid failing, to me, is just as good as him passing. It makes no difference. So there's no real appeal to me, because, I mean, this is it. If you couldn't get a X grade on it, you're not getting into the school. Masha'in came. Let's say a father is prepping his kid for that school. So the father is actually going to, he's going to administer the test as severely as the person who is, as the test that's actually given. But if you fail that test, what will happen is they'll sit down with you and say, okay, let's go over this, let me tell you why you're having such a problem and how we're going to resolve it. Very, very, very big difference between the two. Because in the school that's impersonally testing kids, it's cool in me, that's a din. All they are is simply a, they're interested, they're not interested one step further than just laying down the law. The father has a bigger agenda, but in a part of his hatovat, his child, is to lay down, is to make it as strict as possible within that context. That's the pshat of a nace that we're talking about. A nace means it doesn't belong to the olam of teva. It doesn't belong to the natural order. It doesn't belong to the world of din. It doesn't belong to that bubble. And we've seen the Maral, I think, in Gvuris, he speaks about Nisim also having a Seder. Nisim also being something which is which has a certain structure to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisim are a hanhaga outside of what we would call Seder and Teva. Outside of our Seder and Teva. In our world, just like there's a natural Seder and Teva of what we call nature, there is a Seder and Teva of Ruchnius. Im Shamoya Tishmu, you know, V'chalte v'savota, Yishamu lachem, and so on. That is a Seder Hadvar. But we know that that's not the be it all of what the world is. This is only a sub-bubble. It's a subset of it. In the bigger world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so this is really something that, it's not something we can say, it says so, but when we can intuit the ufya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a toiv and a meitiv, and where man has done his best and just failed, or man sincerely regrets having failed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to be meitiv to the person, to help the person, because that's his real rutzen. Kal Yisrael has what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and the contract that he made, almost all of them can understand as much as us. And there's mitzvahs, there's chiyuvim, and they've got their mitzvahs, they've got our mitzvahs, and those mitzvahs and chiyuvim have their limits. And that's it. But we can intuit much further. And in that world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is toiv, pure toiv, and therefore he's going to figure out how to work it out that we can continue. And that's, so the word nace over here, we're not talking about somebody who failed because he's, and that's it, and he just wants a free ride. There's no tolerance, it's not good for the person to get free rides, that's not something. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is someone who wants to do good, and and therefore that's how we relate to it. Going back to our piece over here about the bitachin and the pachad and the bitachin and so on, it's like the story of the Brisker Rav, I think we must have last time, where they were bombing in Warsaw and everybody was scared stiff, and the Rav was very, very tense, and then once the bombing started, he was calm, and he said, as long as there was responsibility on my part, I couldn't stand the pressure. It was incredible. Once it's out of my hand, being scared of what's going to happen is not warranted. That's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, and we have the bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows best. And in the big picture, he understands and knows, and that's that. Whether we understand it, don't understand it, somewhat makes no difference. So both the midah of pachat and the midah of bitachon, both play an important role in a person's emes, emotional makeup. A person needs to deal with, emotionally, with each chelek of the bria, kefi amitosa, as it is really. The part of the bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu subsection first, the flight simulator, the driving test, that is us, and we need to treat it as us, with all the tenseness and the pachat that we might mess up, or we are messing up. And that's where a person is fully justified in. So if a person does a business deal and he doesn't do due diligence and he's not careful and he doesn't give it the attention that responsibly is required, the person has good reason to worry, to feel bad, and so on and so forth. It is nachrayas, and the person needs to care as achrayas. But having done his full achrayas, now if a person is nervous and edgy, so what's the pshat? You don't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What'll happen, we don't know. But that's the way to be Yad Hashem. You've done what a human being can do, or better said, what a human being ought to do. And the only reason that a person has justifiably to be scared is if a person be scared that he is not going to do what he ought to do. Whether, again, it could be milat alma. Everyone lives with a certain diagram of ishtadlus. The person needs to do what's appropriate in his ishtadlus. The things that, like the Rambam, what the Rambam calls mechalkel ma'isav b'mishpat, to do all the due diligence that he needs to do. But one hairline away from that, once it's out of that realm, then the person is a lack of emunah if he's mefachit. That's where the world of chet comes in. The person needs to understand, well, this point is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and he's doing what's right, and I have to take it as that. That's the balance, I think, the two. And Rosh Hashanah, being the Shoresh of Brias Adam, is the only being that really has this conflict. He's the only one that has Bechira, and therefore this conflict of two worlds, or maybe one world with two aspects that exist in Adam. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is that unique combination of Yerem Mitzad Echad, Bitochum Mitzad Sheni, Oichon Veshayisen Smeichen, that which is almost it's incongruous. If we really believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a cold-blooded objective shofet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father judging us with the goal in mind of bringing out the best in us. So the judgment itself, that area of judgment requires total. It requires total dedication to making it happen right. But once I've done that, or once that's over, and there's no more room for that, then bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appropriate. Any questions? Okay, so
Aksiv Aksiv Ataiva. Just a quick question.
Sure.
Legabe Alpi, he only does seem to be mashmat only in Dibrei Torah that you must get. It's the klal there because that's the part that I have to do. I have to try remember it, and then once or try know it or whatever exactly the field there is. Once you've done that, then also there shouldn't be any kacha going further.
In what? In Dibrei Torah?
I mean, the klal is the same for Dibrei Torah, right? Or
correct. Except that Divrei Torah, what he said over here, that's Noch Eshtaba, means there's never a place where a person can say, I've done that. In other words, when a person plows his field and plants his stuff, there's a place where Piderach HaTeva can say, listen, the ground is good ground, I've plowed it carefully, I've watered it, I've seeded it, I've sprayed it, finished. I can say that's now and anything I will do more than that is counterproductive. In Ruchnius, I can't put down the shovel and say, well, I learned it, Masechta, I know it, that's it. It's always going to require, constant activity to do it. But in principle, you're right, whatever person did in Ruchnius, did the best ability, and now it's gone, then the same thing should apply. That's Rosh Hashanah.
Okay,
Aksiv Siva Teva, and I guess...
Yeah? What about Shemi Yigram Achid? A person can't get to that level
So the Leshem says that a person needs to believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can overcome the pgam of chet as well. That's the way he writes it. Very, very interesting. I guess it's the Kaddish, since the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants to give it to Yaakov, Motzach Matzliach, chet itself can't, even chet can't cause a Kaddish Baruch Hu to abrogate it. Once he wants to do it, he'll find a way around the chet. Find a way, that's pretty much what he says it. I guess it would be similar to when it says that the Ramchal writes in Daras Tunis that one of the kfiris in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to say that he cast away Kal Yisrael because of the Chatoyim. We don't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as not being able to overcome the Inyan of Chet. That's sort of the point over there. Okay, Aksiv Asiv Toiva, good Kibben Shiar. And so Mitzvah Shem Ases Mitzvah will touch base again.
Thanks, Kal.
Kal.